The opinions expressed on this program are not those of Greater Media or its management, staff, advertisers, or ownership.
Welcome to Life Advice with Jennifer Lewis Hall, life coach, author, and journalist. Join us for Jennifer's conversation series discussing issues, events, and advice to help you navigate life's challenges.
Welcome to Life Advice. This is your host, Jennifer Lewis Hall. So glad you are with us. It is great to be with everybody today. And, you know, we're kind of post-holiday, turning the corner on a new year. It is always great to think about ways that you can really dig a little bit deeper to save some money. Any time of year, actually, that's great to do. But I think seasonably, as we think about the weather, we think about changes, we think about winter, we've seen gas prices come down. We've seen oil prices come down. And really, you know, waiting for those benefits to be passed along to the consumer in even more than you see with the price of a gallon of gas. So pretty dramatic if you've been driving and you've been looking at those signs. Even seeing people on social media, you know, taking pictures when those prices were coming down, they've come down significantly as the really the price of a barrel of oil has dropped significantly year over year. So, you know, welcome, folks, to Life Advice. You know, I'm your host, Jennifer Lewis Hall. Always good to be with you. Talking a little bit of about kind of a money management thing today. And one of the great things I was thinking about as the cold weather begins to finally come into play. We've had a bit of a delayed winter in terms of deep, cold weather sooner. Some of that delayed into the new year. So we should see some benefits there. But wanted to talk to some experts to find out what they're thinking as this chillier weather does set in. And I think every year it gives us a chance to think about those of us who live in colder climates, to think about, you know, am I efficiently and effectively heating my home just as we do in the summer? Are we efficiently cooling it? Are we able to also kind of leave a better carbon footprint? Are we being green in our efforts too? That, you know, may save some energy and also benefit our communities, our planet, and then also our pocketbooks. To talk about that today is Joe Prusik. He is an energy expert from PSE&G. And so glad that you're with us today on this edition of Life Advice. Hi there, Joe.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me on the show. Really appreciate the opportunity to talk about PSE&G and some of the energy efficiency tips that we have.
Well, you know, it's great to have you, and thank you for joining us. Turning over a new leaf, you know, we think about sort of a new season comes, a new year comes, a renewal comes with the various seasons. And I can't think of, you know, sort of a, you know, a number of industries, but particularly your own in energy, where you're constantly monitoring the weather, the conditions outdoors, and really making sure that your customers are supplied with energy. But beyond that, I'm sure that a lot of it, too, is about awareness of energy usage, consumption, and our carbon footprint.
Yes, absolutely. One point I wanted to make, you referenced earlier talking about the prices of gasoline reducing and coming down quite a bit. Natural gas has also come down quite a bit. And this year, PSE&G is able to offer its customers a 30% discount. But there's also some other simple steps and things that we can talk about here that can help you save even more energy. One of the easiest way to lower your energy bill is just to change your behavior. You know, if you just simply lower your thermostat by a degree, you could reduce your heating bill by up to an additional 3%.
I think that that's amazing because you said literally ticking it down ever so slightly will really save you some money and also saving energy. Before we even get into some of these details, Joe, more and more is being made out of our climate, people talking about, you know, staying, you know, or trying to enhance sort of being, you know, green in society, that proverbial green, meaning what can we do to better conserve energy? Are you hearing a lot about that? Are customers really also saying, I think not only can I save on my bill, but how can I also maximize, you know, energy consumption, minimize waste?
I believe customers are always interested in saving on their utility bills. You know, when you think about it, that's just an extra household expense that we all have. And as important as electricity and gas is to the way we live and the devices that we power and the heat that we provide to our homes, it's still money out of our pockets. And, you know, we as a company are very conscious of that. And we're trying to offer customers help on and tips to save energy.
Let's go through some of those, because I know we'll have an opportunity to talk with you over the course of a couple of shows. I'm really excited about that. We're going to be able to talk about some ways that you can kind of do your own DIY type of simple fixes to help, you know, maximize the way you're using your energy and minimize costs. But also, I think there's a kind of a reference we talked about that deals with no cost and low cost. Explain what that means, and then let's delve into that a little bit.
Sure. Low cost and no cost items, you know, when you think about how you use your energy, I'll call this behavioral changes. And like I indicated earlier, if you lower your thermostat 1 degree, you can save your bill, your heating bill, by upwards of 3%. But think about it. If you lower it even 2 degrees, you'll save even more. And if at night, when you're sleeping, you can lower it maybe 5 to 10 degrees during the nighttime, as long as your health conditions permit, you'll save even more. Another good thing to do when we're talking about thermostats here are programmable thermostats. You can program your thermostat so that when you're away at work, your heating system will automatically change, and it saves you money. You don't even have to think about it. And some of the newer thermostats, some of the electronic ones, they will link up to your phone through the internet, and they'll heat and cool your home a little bit as you're driving home from work, and do it automatically. You won't even have to touch it. And they have sensors built in to recognize when you're home and not.
I think that that's amazing, because I actually went, and this is why this is such a poignant and relatable story for me, because I actually needed, you know, the air conditioning was the hottest week of the year for us, and the air conditioner went, you know, and then it was, okay, is it prudent to also get a new furnace? So, you know, you're talking to a person who just went through these checks and balances and, you know, what do you get? What do you need? And it's interesting that you say that, because one of the first things, it wasn't so much the big systems to choose from, but it was also, I guess, choosing the right thermostat. And as you're saying, there's an app on my phone, went, use that. It even tells me that if the temperature drops below a certain number, it alerts me. So that, you know, in the event that you have a really cold day, or you're not home, and all of a sudden, you know, so you can kind of check on those pipes, make sure everything is operating okay. But I thought that was remarkable, because what a great use of energy. We were heating the home. Essentially, if nobody's home, you're saying, don't heat
it.
Don't heat it at such a high level.
Why do you need to heat and cool your home when no one's there? It's a waste of energy.
Excellent stuff.
You know, this brings up another misconception that a lot of people that I come across with. You know, furnaces don't necessarily work harder than normal to warm a space or even cool a space when you set it back or turn it up. This way, it's always better just to, when you're not home, turn your thermostat down. It doesn't, you'll end up saving energy. It doesn't use more by doing it otherwise.
Interesting point, Joe. We are on the line, folks, with Joe Prusik, PSENG energy expert, talking about ways that we can maximize our usage, but be efficient in doing that. What can we do to maximize our savings and make sure that we're getting, you know, hopefully a little extra change in our pockets, particularly as the prices of oil and natural gas have come down. Joe, it's my understanding that some of those costs may be passed along to the consumer. As I was saying earlier at the top of the show, driving around, we've all seen these prices. And they're pretty eye-popping compared to what we saw 2 years ago. They've come down dramatically. What about natural gas, and how might customers benefit?
Well, natural gas prices, like I said earlier in the show here, have come down significantly. And those savings get passed along to the customers. And in PSE&G's case, we were able to cut the average bill by about 30%.
So that is actually change in people's pockets as those prices have trended lower. And when you're looking at that, you're saying really this is you're looking at a seasonable time. The weather was mild. And I suppose certainly folks weren't, you know, when we had those record-breaking warm winter days, they were not We didn't have to use the heat. In fact, some people told me they had the windows and doors open.
And I'm sure some people even put their air conditioners on.
I did actually in the car, I must admit. There was one day that I couldn't resist. It was pretty warm on this particular winter day. It's really unusual to have this weather. But while we tend to now go into weather that is more typical for this time of year, I know you have some more tips for us. And I wanted to ask about one in particular. You talked about turning down the thermostat. Now, is there a typical setting when, as you said, you know, your health is not compromised, you can, you know, take it a little bit cooler? Where should you set your thermostat?
Well, the Department of Energy recommends that you set your thermostat at 68 degrees when you're home. And the way I look at that, that is, obviously everyone has their own personal preference, but that's a good starting point. You know, especially if you're interested in saving energy, turn your thermostat down to 68 degrees and see how comfortable you are. And if it's down 2-3 degrees from where you normally set it, you know you're going to be saving energy.
Oh, so that's excellent. And you said overnight or while you go to bed at night, try making it a little bit cooler as well. I'm sure have those layers. But if you can do that, that's a good idea. And if it's appropriate for you. This was one that I also read, lowering your thermostat to 58 degrees. I read this in your tips. If you're away from home, tell us more about that.
Well, when you're away from home, think about it. This gets back to there's no sense heating your house when no one's home. So you can turn it back down to 10 degrees less than what the Department of Energy recommends, and that's 58 degrees. Your pipes will not freeze, and you're saving a ton of natural gas if you heat with natural gas or even heating oil.
And that, and the recommendation was, you know, away from home for more than 5 hours or more. This is something interesting, too. Make sure your central air conditioning system, well, that's going to be in the cooling period once you do that. And I know that the folks that I dealt with recommended keeping all these systems, you know, checked, cleaning filters, you know, and things like that, so that your systems aren't working harder than they need to actually be working.
Right. Making sure your filters are clean is an excellent recommendation, because think about it, that's resistance of the airflow through your heating or cooling system, and that just takes more energy to push that air through a dirty filter.
Right. Highly recommended. Thank you so much for that. Tell us a little bit about some more low-cost measures or what you'd like to add.
Sure. A couple other low-cost measures, especially in the winter when it's cold. If you look at your doors that lead to the outside, and if you see light coming through the doors, then you have little air gaps there. And if you have a lot of little air gaps, think about it. That's like leaving your window open, and nobody would want to do that in the middle of winter. So if you can get some weather stripping at your local home improvement store or some caulk to seal up those little air leaks, if you seal up a lot of those, that'll add up to big savings on your energy bill as well.
Hot water heaters. I feel like they're oftentimes, you know, overlooked or a little bit neglected unless they start to leak.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, my goodness, check the date, you know, stay current with that. Something that I was reminded of in replacing these actual systems, you know, it was like, oh, you're replacing the air conditioning and the furnace. What about your hot water heater? Because, of course, they're almost side by side in my home in particular. But it makes you really think, because there's also a trick of the trade for that.
For your hot water heater, you should have it set at about 120 degrees, because if you have it set higher than that, you're heating up hot water that you're just going to dilute with cold water out of your faucet or when you shower, and that's a waste of energy. One other thing to think of, if you're going to be away from a home for 2 days or more, there's a vacation mode. Typically, there's a red knob on the bottom of your thermostat. You can just turn that to vacation mode. But one thing I would recommend before you do that, take a little magic marker and put a mark on that knob before you turn it, so when you come back from vacation, you can put it back to that same temperature that you had.
Oh, that's a good idea. So make sure that it's, you know, that way you'll be at a comfortable setting wherever you were prior
right.
to this.
And think about it. Like, you would turn your heat down when you leave for a couple days. You don't want to keep your hot water heated as well, because that's a waste of energy and a waste of money.
What about fireplaces? I always find this is remarkable because they're beautiful and great to have, you know, when they're properly maintained. But a lot of times you think of how much heat they may give. But the truth is that air can also escape from there, too.
Yes. All fireplaces have a damper, so when they're not in use, make sure that damper is closed, because if it's open, that's like having an open window in your house. That warm air from your living space will just go right up through your chimney, and as that heat goes up, so do the dollars that you're spending on your heating bills.
So actually, you know, making sure no air goes up there. Now, one thing that you said people oftentimes don't think about is using the power of the sun.
Yes, yes. Think about it. When it's a bright, sunny day, even in the winter, and you're standing in your home, you can feel the heat of that sun. So keep your curtains and blinds open on those sunny days. And at night, when it turns colder and the sun's not out, close your curtains. That's just a little bit added layer of insulation that'll help keep that heat inside your home.
That's a great idea. And it just is so beautiful, I think, to also see the sun. Not only does it make you feel good, but it can warm your home. Open those curtains, you're saying. Don't let the winter doldrums get you. Let some sun inside.
Yep.
An important, this is more of a fact-based piece of information. About 30% of the energy that you're using and pay for in your home is for heating. Another 25% is for water heating and appliances. So,
yep. And when you think about it, a lot of those heating and water heating and appliances, these are things that we do in our normal course of living. You don't even think of, or a lot of people, I should say, don't even think of how they use energy. One important thing to point out here is insulation in your attic is very important. When you think of, 50% of the energy used for winter heating leaves your home through uninsulated walls, floors, ceilings, and right up through your attic.
So make sure that all of those areas are properly insulated?
Yes.
And I was going to say, can you tell us a little bit about that as well?
Sure. Think about it on a snowy day or shortly after a snowstorm. If you drive down your street, you'll see some homes have snow on them and other ones do not have snow on them. Well, the ones that still have the snow on it, they are much more insulated from the attic space than those that don't have snow on the roof. When you think about it, heat rises. So if your attic has a lot of air leaks, as we call it in the industry, or is not insulated well, that heat rises right up through your house. And when the heat rises, that's money that you're, in essence, wasting. And it's literally melting the snow on the roof. So you can see that as you drive down your street or in your local town. Houses that have snow are much more better insulated than those that don't.
So that's, and this is interesting because you said then the rooftops without snow are a sign that the heat meant to keep the family warm is escaping through that attic.
Yes.
And the words that you all used here was really sort of a financial wind tunnel for homeowners inside. I can imagine that's a, fairly large space. So that means a lot of that heat is escaping.
I'll get a little technical here.
Yeah, please.
It's called the stack effect. And when you think about it, warm air rises through the top of the house. And that just, as the warm air rises, that creates a draft in essence. And what it's doing is pulling in cold air from the outside. So you should really try and add some attic insulation to your roof, seal up some of those holes. And when you think about holes in your attic, these are holes when they build your house for all the electric wires that go down to your switches, to all the plumbing chases. Each plumbing system will have a vent pipe that goes up. A lot of times when houses are built, they don't seal up around those holes that are left in the studs that are up in your attic. So if you go around and seal up all those little holes, you're stopping that stack effect, which in essence is that hot air rising up through your home.
Oh, that's very good to know. We're going to talk appliances for a minute. Are there any seals or anything that we can look for efficiency or anything that says, when we're looking at some of these appliances, that it's rated or there's a standard or what makes something efficient as we're looking at? I'm not sure if you can address that, but there's got to be, I guess, a way to say, other than going maybe to a consumer type of magazine or something like that, should we be looking for appliances that are, basically more efficient?
The best thing to do is look for appliances that'll have a little blue sticker on it that are ENERGY STAR rated. That means that they are higher efficiency than normal appliances. They may cost a little bit more, but you know, we don't go out and buy appliances every day. So over their lifetime, you'll save energy and save money.
All right. I like that, Joe. Thank you. Well, let's get to something else. The little things can really add up. And so not to neglect things like when we're talking about something that, oh, we cut it on, we use it, we kind of walk away. A dishwasher or a clothes washer. What about those?
Well, the best way to use those is to fill them up. Fill up your dishwasher with dirty dishes. Fill up your washer with your clothes. And think about it. Why would you want to run it twice when you could, you know, if you only had a half a load of dishes or a half a load of your clothes in the washer, wait till you can fill it up because you'll only run that washer or that dryer or the dishwasher only once as opposed to running it twice. Now, running it twice is you're using twice the energy. That's costing you twice the amount of money. And when it comes to your clothes, you'll save wear and tear on your clothes as well.
How do you check, though, the temperature? On the refrigerator, I get it, if you have either a dial or if it's, a newer fridge, some of those temperatures are on the door panel. But checking that, is that also essential, and how might they be set for either your, you know, water for your dishwasher, clothes, or your refrigerator?
Well, as we talked about earlier, if your hot water shouldn't be more than 120 degrees, and you could even use a meat thermometer if you have one in your drawer just to run the hot water and see where that temperature reads. Now, a meat thermometer won't work in your refrigerator, but if you're in one of your local home improvement stores, they'll have smaller, even outdoor thermometers that you could put in your refrigerator and your freezer. Your freezer, the best temperature to keep that at is at about 0 degrees, and your regular refrigerator is about 38 degrees. That's a good temperature that'll save your food and it'll also save you energy on your bills.
So above freezing for your fridge, but at zero, you said, for your freezer. Should we pack that freezer tightly, or what's a good way to maximize that?
The best
that?
Thing to do is keep your refrigerator full. I know we want to try and lose some weight, a lot of us as well.
Yes.
Doesn't mean you always got to go into the refrigerator, but keep it well stocked for when you do need to eat.
And that's because I guess it's like you're saying that's insulation in a sense.
It is, because every time you open up that refrigerator or freezer door, all that cold air is coming out and warm air is going in, so that when you close it, that refrigerator has to cool that warm air that was just put in there. So if it's fuller, there's less of that air exchange that happens, and your refrigerator doesn't have to work as hard.
Well, these are absolutely great tips, Joe. Thank you for joining us. Next week, we're going to get a chance to talk about some other ways to not only promote awareness for energy efficiency as customers look to save some money as well, but also to talk about a special program called Comfort Partners for people who may qualify for that, to talk about some of your programs and some more tips, your top tips for saving money and utilizing energy. Joining us today, once again, Joe Prusik, PSE&G energy expert. Joe, we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Joe, and thanks to all of you for joining us for this edition of Life Advice, talking today about ways that we can save a few dollars on our energy bill, if not more than that. Thanks for joining us, everybody. It's been great to be with you this morning.
Life Advice with Jennifer Lewis Hall has been a production of Magic 98.3 Radio. Be sure to tune in next week for Life Advice with Jennifer Lewis Hall, right here on Magic 98.3.